Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Partners Exclusive Podcast here with Anabaptist Perspectives. So this is where we typically answer questions, or at least engage with questions, comments, things that we get from the audience. And right now I'm up at Faith Builders in Guy's Mills, Pennsylvania, with Jaron and Gerald, which are both part of the Anabaptist Perspectives team. So Gerald is now chairman of the board, the board of Anabaptist Perspectives. And of course, Jaron and myself have been with the organization since it started, kind of got it off the ground initially, and a lot of help from the board, obviously. That's been Gerald's job, and a lot of other people are involved now. And yeah, it's been great to actually do this in person, all be here in the same area. So with that being the case, there's this interesting question that I got from, I believe this is a comment on a video from someone named Randall. So I'll just read it, and then you all can engage with it. We'll see where this goes. So this is what Randall says. And this is from Dean Taylor's episode that we did called The Essence of Anabaptism, which is actually episode one of Anabaptist Perspectives way back in 2018. And this is what he says. Everyone has to have a title. Why can't people pray and serve God individually? I think every church, mosque, and temple should just put up a sign that reads, "Welcome. We are not going to be standing in front of God on Judgment Day as a group. We will stand in front of God individually." Now, I'm assuming when he says everyone has to have a title, I'm assuming he means all the denominational lines that we're drawing, because that was an episode called The Essence of Anabaptism, and I'm guessing he's having a bit of a pick with that. So what do you all think of Randall's question? What would you say to him, and how would you answer this?
Well, I think it's a good question. I think it's, I'm just actually starting to reflect more in a personal way as I'm thinking about the question, and it really is a live question for me personally, as I think about wrestling with what it means to be part of a community, and what it means at the same time to be individually responsible to God for my life, for my conduct, for my influence on others, for my choices, and for the way I lead my family, my children, and there is tension there, and I think maybe one of the things that I sense that maybe Randall's getting after is the idea that somehow I, as an individual, can throw myself on the church or on the community or on a certificate that I have hanging on my wall that says I'm part of an organization, and that somehow that removes the responsibility from me as an individual to, number one, be seeking to follow Christ, to really integrate into my life what that means to serve Christ, to live like Him. So there's some ways there where we might be able to somehow lessen the responsibility in our minds by attaching ourselves to a larger group. So maybe that's a bit of the tension there. And what does it mean to be responsible at that fundamental individual level for my life and for my influence on others? I think that's something that we have to take really seriously in regards to our responsibility as individuals. As I was saying, it is something that we need to take seriously. It is something that we need to really embrace our individual responsibility for our lives and for our decisions and for the way our lives are shaped and the people that we're responsible for. At the same time, there's a community that forms such a significant part of our lives. And as I think about the way the scripture talks about it, an image that comes to mind is Paul talking about the church as living stones, talking about us as individuals being living stones built up together, somehow in this imagery of stones that are alive. It's a really, I think it almost encapsulates in a way that tension of how can a stone be living? We're somehow being changed and shaped into something new. We're becoming something, and that's happening corporately. And so there is a sense in which we're shaped by those living stones around us. We're shaped so much by our community, so much by the people that I rub shoulders with on a day-to-day basis. And so, Jaron, you know, you're a part of my life. You have an influence on me. We are affected by those that we rub shoulders with. And so, Jaron, you have an effect on my life. You have a part to play in shaping who I am and who I'm going to become. And same way, you know, Reagan, as I rub shoulders with you, you know, you're going to influence me, and I'm going to have influence on those who are next to me. We shape each other. We mold each other to a certain extent. And so those are just trying to underscore how the community does play such an important role, and the church, the body of Christ, does play such an important role. And so I think that it's fair to recognize both of those realities, that are both our individual responsibility and our corporate responsibility, and think about how we can live in light of that. And again, I don't think that holding individual responsibility high means that we can't have the community be a part of our life, or mm-hmm. vice versa. That for us as Anabaptists, maybe it's more holding the community influence high, that shouldn't take away from our responsibility as individuals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a sense of accountability, I think, is a word to use, you know, accountable to other believers that are around us. I think there's, yeah, I see what you're saying there. And that's something that the Anabaptists have tended to emphasize a lot, is that community, which we've covered that and what that looks like and all the, yeah, it's a thing to navigate through. So that's on the main podcast. There's several episodes, I think, mostly with like Melvin Lehman and a few others. But yeah, Jaron, I'd be curious to hear your thoughts on this question. What would you say to Randall?
I really agree with Gerald. Appreciate everything that you said. I just noticed that he mentions Judgment Day. We will be standing there in front of God as individuals, not as a group. Hmm. But we have lives to live before Judgment Day. And you know, Judgment Day is an important focus. But God, I think, wants us to learn to know him more, to be disciple, and to be shaped more into his image in the here and now, in the present, before I reach Judgment Day. And I think that the group or the community, the church, is a hugely significant tool that God has given to us for the kind of shaping and discipleship and maturity and growth that God does have in mind for us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well said.
Yeah. So it's good things to think about. Both our own personal responsibility, but also the community of believers, the accountability that comes with, you know, being part of a church, say. There's some tension there, and there's, I think, some of that's good. Is there anything else either of you all would like to add on this episode?
Maybe just a story that comes to my mind that intersects with some of this discussion that we've been having. I heard this story from John D. Martin last year or the year before, I forget. I was down in State College with LifeQuest, with Ernest Eby's organization, and John D. Martin was there, and they were doing a few sessions on a few different topics. And John D. gave a presentation on the idea of the new humanity, and he was the new humanity being the redeemed community of Christ and what that means, some of the aspects of what it means to live in community. It was really, really good. One of the stories that he told there was he got into, I think, some of the nitty-gritty of how this tension works. And he told a story of a Quaker man who was years ago in America before slavery was eradicated. And so the Quakers did not have slaves, but his particular business was selling fabric and dyes and different colored fabric. And so the dyes that they were using came from slave labor, the manufacturer, whatever was involved there. And so this Quaker man, his conscience became troubled by that, and he started to wrestle with the fact that the clothes that we wear are made with these dyes that have this aspect of injustice in them, I guess you could say, where slave labor was involved. And so the Quakers being who they were, they wore dark clothing. It was very kind of an important part in a sense of their identity. And so this was a really kind of big deal to start to talk about. And so he was wrestling with, you know, this kind of on the community level and my conscience and how do I deal with this problem that I feel inside myself, this injustice that is here. And he talked to his community about it, and they weren't really open to some of his ideas about it. And so his response was to stop wearing clothing that was dyed with these dyes. And so he went from wearing dark, somber clothing to wearing clothing that was not dyed. So it was kind of light colored, and it looked really weird, and it looked really odd. He didn't fit in anymore. And he stopped selling these dyes in his shop, so his shop kind of suffered for it. And there was a lot of like kind of fervor in the community, and he wasn't a very popular guy, but he persisted at it. And kind of the clinching part of the story is that his community did eventually come around to embracing that thinking because, in large part, of his influence. And he was willing to suffer to help bring to light this truth, I think, that needed to be made known. And so there's some of the tension, and he did act on his individual conscience, and yet he did it in a way somehow within the community. It was a suffering way. It was a hard way, but it was a way that slowly helped people come to a realization of something that was true.
Yeah, that's really powerful about how we as individuals can also have influence on the broader community based on how we live and standing on those things that are important and valuable and worth living for, you know. That's quite the story. I didn't know that story before. Thanks, both of you, for coming on the podcast today. And thanks to Randall for leaving that comment so we could discuss that. Hopefully, if you're listening to this, hopefully it was helpful. Let us know. And, of course, we love hearing from our listeners. So comments, emails, that kind of thing. We'd love to hear from you. You can find all our content on our website, anabaptistperspectives.org. And if you're listening to this, that means you're part of the network that supports us. We are supported by people just like you, and it allows us to continue this ministry, and we really do appreciate that. So thanks so much for listening, and we'll catch you in the next episode.